I mean, how could you not love them instantly? And they didn't even have probably their best, not probably their best offensive kid.
I was like, in the alternate universe, I said, Caleb Sean is watching this one. Guys, we're fine.
They've done this before. They did this, I mean, they've done it to great teams before. So it's just like, I don't even know if that's really a big win for him.
He is a leader on defense. I mean, this kid has a motor, man. I mean, you can just tell he gets into the game and he starts to defend and everybody just kind of rallies behind him. He's just, he's their leader. Like, he's everything for them.
He's him.
He's him. If you don't love that win, you don't love Arizona small ball. I mean, I don't care what level you're on. That performance is one that's going to go in the record books. What is up, Arizona high school basketball fanatics? Welcome back to the Arizona Small Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Jeff. Your other host, Reyes, is here with me as always, and we got so much to talk about this week. I'm going to be honest, I don't even really know where to start. We're going to talk about winners and losers from the week. We're also going to highlight some awesome performances. We've got some big announcements coming up in this episode. But most importantly, Reyes, you are back in the studio with me today, dude, and it is great to see your fuzzy hair, bro. I forgot to unmute you again.
Jeff mutes me every time in the beginning because I always make some sort of noise. But I am back to be back in the ASBP headquarters.
The ASBP studio.
Headquarters.
Know. It's good. I like how that sounds, actually. Headquarters over studio.
Headquarters.
I like it. So it's good to have you back, Reyes. We are going to talk about a lot of different games and performances this week. But before we get into that, we do have some really important announcements to just kind of throw out there to you guys. And, you know, one of the things that I'm going to be honest, I feel like is the hardest thing to do with this podcast is there's so many games and fun performances to talk about. It's hard sometimes to just remember that there are some things that we need to throw out there and just kind of talk about. So the first thing we want to talk about is the Viral Heap Award. We have released our two waves of nominees for the Viral Heap Award, and we have one more wave that's going to drop this week, which we're super excited about. And Reyes, I know we were talking about this behind closed doors, but I love every single person that we've nominated to be on that Viral Heap Award.
I do too, man. Like I said, for those of you guys that are looking at the Viral Heap, I know a lot of you guys are just kind of looking at like stats and like accolades or whatever, but like that's just not all of it, right? I mean, that's a big
part of it. It's part of the picture.
It's a part of it, dude. But like, to be honest with you, like Viral Heap, like when we talked to his son, Roger Heap, if I'm not Roger. Mm-hmm. When we talked to Roger and he was explaining his dad, like, yeah, he was, you know, a decorated coach and player. Like I said, right, played at ASU, was a Hall of Famer in the athletics now. But he just talked more about his character and right, like how he was as a father, how he was as a coach, and like not what he did. Like helping kids, you know, reach these high accolades or stats. It's like how he turned these, you know, young men into like men. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's super important to remember about this Viral Heap. Like, yes, it's great to average 20 a game, 17 or whatever it is, but it's even better to be a better human being, right? To be a better, to just have great integrity and all that other stuff that kind of goes into just high character.
Dang, Raz, I just got a little bit emotional thinking about you talking about that stuff, knowing about where you've come from, big dog.
Let's go, baby. Let's go.
This is the biggest success story in Arizona small history.
That's correct. Not the biggest. Not the biggest. But, no, I do take it to heart, and I think that good character is just so important for a young kid's development, right? Because that helps you not only – because you can only play basketball for so long.
Sure.
But what are you going to do after basketball? What kind of human being are you going to be after basketball? And I think sports, just in general, is just a great, you know, and a great coach can lay those foundations for you to set you up for success in life.
And, you know, with that, we want you guys to know, because we've been getting a lot of messages in of people saying, hey, nominate this kid. Why isn't this kid on there?
Snubs.
We want you guys to just understand this. I know it seems like it's just me and Ray, because we're obviously the ones that were heading up the podcast. But we have a community of coaches that is helping us make these decisions. So for every kid that we've nominated, we've reached out to.
It went through the whirlpool.
Yeah, we reached out to coaches, and we had a list of kids that we thought should be considered. And we reached out to a bunch of coaches and gave them the criteria and said, hey, does this kid meet the criteria? For some kids it was, for some kids it wasn't. But we're super excited to provide this award for the most outstanding player in Arizona small ball, and I'm just getting more and more excited about it. And so I just want to take a second and talk about the Verl Heap Award. We still haven't talked about like a prize for it.
Yeah, we haven't
yet. All I remember is like when we first announced it, I said that the winner would get a car, and that's not
so
or a burrito.
That's how Jones Ford, right? No, but like super quick. I think that's super important too, right? Because the Verl Heap is for the most outstanding small ball player, right? It's not the most valuable player. It's not like, it's outstanding. Like,
sure.
So that just means anything, right? Outstanding player and character. So,
and if you want to know more about the criteria, we did release a couple episodes that talked about it. And if you just have more questions, you can ask us. And, yeah. You know,
feel free to write us in.
Yeah, we can talk to you guys about that as well. So that's the first thing. Another thing is Reyes. What's going on, April the 20th, big dog?
Dude, we are back, dude. Year two. I am super excited for, I guess it's safe to say called the annual, right?
Mm-hmm.
The annual ASBP Senior Showcase is
dude,
back.
Dude, you just saying that, man, it just made me excited, bro.
Bro, it is. I am so happy, right? I know there's still a lot of season left, right? I think everybody's kind of coming to that home stretch of their final 6 to 8 games. For some of the small schools that do have, their little, region tournament, which I still wish every, region had a tournament. I think it'd be so
awesome. I disagree with you so hard on that, bro.
That's crazy. But I think it's cool. But anyways, we're not here to debate about that, but we're here to debate and not even debate, but just talk about the ASBP Senior Showcase. Dude, we're back year two. We are hosting again in Florence. And for those of you guys who are wondering, why Florence again? Dude, I mean, you can kind of go into a little bit.
Florence is just the bomb, dude. And Coach Silvas is a bro. They're huge friends of the podcast. And, last year they were so great working with us. Maria Reyes talked about it. Like, how could we go anywhere else except for Florence?
Absolutely.
Know? And we love the gym. We love the feel there. Actually, when I talked to Coach Silvas late last week, he was at like a cheer competition in Florence, So it's just like Florence, just to be honest, it reminds me of where we're from.
Yeah,
absolutely. And that's part of the reason why I love to go there, and I love Coach Silvas and everybody over there. They're just super great to work with.
So. Yeah, one word that I can describe Florence with is just community. I think that just hits it on the nail on the head, right? I think what they do and how they were last year was just so great. But yeah, we're back with it, dude. So seniors, like I said, we got the 3-point contest. We're seeing the stats. For some of you coaches that do not implement stats, it hurts your kid because you might be telling us hey, this kid's shooting the crap out of the ball, but we're not seeing it, right?
I love the censorship, dude. That was good.
Well, I didn't want to say shoot the shit out of the ball.
Well, there you go, right?
My bad. But anyways, yeah, so and then high flyers, right? The dunk contest, the ASBP, dunk contest. Who are some high flyers, man? We know a couple just off top of our head, but I said, coaches, there was a kid last year who wasn't necessarily a perennial small ball player,
sure,
right?
But man, the kid won the dunk contest.
He could fly, dude. Like I said, and that was Zach Homan, dude. How funny was it last year when we put their pictures on and we put the wrong picture of him? Talk about Mr. Irrelevant.
He comments and said, "Bro, that's not me." And we were like, "Oh shoot," and we just deleted it. Dude, that was so funny.
It was so funny. But yeah, no, I mean that's a prime example, right? So coaches, if you guys are listening, players, if you guys are listening, if you guys know a senior on your team that can just kind of get up and not just, get up and throw a two-hand. We're talking about, just doing a little bit more, a little bit of extra stuff.
Sure.
Please write us in. Shoot us a DM on Twitter, Instagram. Shoot us an email. And, and then the senior game. I'm super excited about that. Some opportunities were made for kids that were there. And like I said, this was all put together kind of quick,
Not this year, though.
Not this year, dude. We've been planning methodically on this event for a very long time. Lou's been doing a great job on the front end. I've been doing a lot on the back end as far as just opportunities that I want to create for some of these kids. And we're also doing a super cool thing for the coaches as well, if you want to talk about that.
Is it safe to say that I've been taking it from the front and you've been taking it from the back? Is that safe to say?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Socks are on, fellas.
So, that's crazy. That was too much, bro. I didn't even mean it like that.
You're right.
So anyways.
Meaning like what?
we'll just kind of move on. So for you players, be on the lookout because we will start sending out invites very soon. So that way you guys can make some plans and make sure that you don't, you know, we didn't want to do it on April the 20th because of like 420, but that was the date that worked best for all of us. So, you know, we don't mean anything by that, but that's just kind of what worked.
A little fun joke.
Yeah. So just be on the lookout for invites and please get back to us. Get back to ASBP ASAP.
Hey, I like that, dude.
But get back to us so that way we can secure your spot, because there were some kids that missed out last year because of that. We got to start working on some jerseys and stuff. And you know we're going to get hooked up with our guys over at Cloud9 Sports. They are the awesome partners that we have. And you guys are going to see their awesome jerseys and shirts all on display here at the Senior Showcase. And they're going to be super fun to work with. So I can't wait for that. And another thing, too, that I want to say that we're doing different this year compared to what we have done in the past is we are all about the community with this one, with the small ball community. So this is a little bit different, and there'll be more information on this going out, especially specifically to you coaches. But to specifically the Arizona Small Ball Senior Showcase, every single coach from the Arizona Small Ball community will get in for free. Okay, we'll talk about how you can prove that or whatever, but every single coach on that, well, there's going to be a list, right? Every single coach that is a coach for the small ball community will get in for free, but you don't want to just come for the showcase, because before the showcase, we're going to host this awesome luncheon where we have some free food for you guys. You guys can all just come, chill out, enjoy the ending of the season, you know, hang out together, connect, network. Whatever you want to do, talk trash, however you want to do things.
One-on-one. I mean,
right, you
want
to challenge somebody to one-on-one, you know. And we're going to have a special speaker coming in to speak to you guys about just some cool, encouraging stuff. It's not going to be us, so don't. I'm not going to put Reyes up there. Although, I can rip. That would be kind of entertaining.
I can rip, bro. Just know that.
The goal of the showcase for you coaches is, and really for the small ball community, is just we want to bring something to the community that you guys, that we don't have, and that we think would be really special and really cool. Just a fun weekend that everybody can come and be a part of, and you don't got to pay nothing for it, dude.
Absolutely. And like I said, for the kids, kind of go back on it. Please, like, get to us soon. Like I said, invites are going to be going out soon. We are revamping and rebranding the website a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fair to say now. So hopefully that will be done in the next week or two. Whatever
it will be. Yep.
It should be. Yeah. So I'm super excited about that. But please get back. I can't stress this enough. Get back to us, because I know that in April there are some events and AAU and stuff like that, which is cool and all. But I mean, the ASBP Senior Showcase
just different, bro.
It just carries more weight, right? Like I said,
you get a jersey, you get to take it home, you get the shirt, you get to participate. Like, it's fun, dude.
It's competition, right? And that you get to play against the best of the best that small ball has to offer, right? Mm-hmm. Last year was so fun, and
let's just say this, and we're going to say this cryptically, okay? So you just go with me. I hope Prime comes back.
I hope Prime comes back, dude.
Oh, and some Golly, of you guys I from hope... last year, you know what we're talking about. Maybe.
If you don't know, you better figure it out. Because, dude, when Prime was there, oh, my Lord, it was just awesome.
Yeah, so.
Shout out to Prime.
If you want to know, just let me know. I'll send you a picture. Okay, so let's keep moving on. As far as the food is concerned, we're not sure what it is. We talked about maybe literally flying my dad in to make some food. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
He makes the meanest, like, elephant, like, ribeyes and, elephant steak bites and stuff.
Stop, dude. My dad doesn't do that kind of stuff. That's good. Pony or whatever? That's crazy, dude.
Pony.
Okay. So that's really our announcements that we wanted to talk to you guys about. The Viral Heap Award and the ASBP Senior Showcase. Huge shouts out to Florence. And also to our sponsors over at Cloud9 Sports, who are going to hook us up with that. You guys got to check them out, cloud9sports.com, or you can email our guy, cloud9roger@hotmail.com. Okay, it's just super cool, and it's going to be great. Let's move on to recapping some games, though, unless you got something else you want to say.
Just super quick, yeah. Coaches, if you guys know any small businesses, or like I said, mm-hmm. We have Rosati's Pizza, right? Family-owned, small ball in community. Shouts out to Rosati's last year for being a sponsor. Shouts out to Team Jones Ford. If you guys know small businesses, you know what I mean, that would like to give love, that would like to, support the Small Ball Podcast, have them email us at azsmallballpod@gmail.com. That is azsmallballpod@gmail.com. And like I said, for business inquiries, yeah, so let us know.
That took a lot of like mental fortitude for you to say our email, dude.
Well, dude, our podcast is like Arizona_smallball_podcast, and then our Twitter is like smallball pod AZ, and then our email is that
AZ smallball.
It's just a lot, bro. I just wish it was all one thing.
You got it right though. That was good. Okay, so let's move on here to actually recapping some games, because dude, the amount of games was out of this world, and you know we never done this before, but we are gonna start with this thing. Winners and losers from this last week.
Respectfully.
And this is respectfully. Reyes, I'm going to just throw this over to you, dude. Who's like the biggest winner of this week that really jumps out off the page at you?
I think despite the obvious of the Gregory School, right? I mean, huge implications right there.
Huge implications.
Huge implications. Possibly a preview of the 1A state title game. Besides them, I think for me personally, it was our Gophers because of the fact, even though despite the loss to Gilbert Christian, they only lost by 6. And if you are a Florence, I would be, you know, if you're a Florence fan, if you're a Gopher fan, right, if you're in the Den, pop your head out, dude, just because there's a lot to look up to.
They're playing really well right now.
They're playing very tough right now. And I like I said, I think that's one of the biggest winners, you know, knowing that like, hey, like Gilbert Christian, you know, they're a top team in the 3A. And Florence went toe-to-toe with them and almost could have probably got it done if, you know, some things could have happened.
Well, and I think that's a great choice, even though they literally did lose that game. But it's a great choice because this is not the first time that Florence has competed really well against a team like against Palo Verde. I'll take you back to that, right? Palo Verde pulls away at the end. But really, like, they show them that they can really, really compete with some teams. So I think it's really cool for them. And I think that's a great pick for a winner of the week. Who else? Who's you got as a winner of the week?
Who else do I got for a winner of the week? Oh, I was about to go for a loser.
Okay, go ahead. Go to a loser for the week.
My loser of the week. God, that sounds so bad. We'll figure something out. But it's
just winners and losers from the week.
You know, yeah, this is respectfully Coach Smith at Palo Verde. I think dropping the ball to both Sabino and Pushridge.
That's tough, dude.
It's tough. And like I said, for you just casuals, in the small ball realm, casual, you might look at them like, I can't believe they lost to Sabino and Pushridge. But for you fanatics, you're fiending off what we do. You understand that Sabino transfers got the green light. I think Pushridge got some kids or something. There's something going on in the South right now.
Yeah, the South is like must-see TV.
This is must-see
right
TV. But yeah, for me, Palo Verde dropping those two, right? Like I said, before that, they were on a 3-game win streak, and they dropped, you know, two to Sabino, 44-66, and then they lose a close one, 58-53 against Pushridge. Now, before my loser, you asked me about my winner. My other winner.
Well, hold on. Before you move on, I want to talk about that for a second, though.
Let's talk about it.
Palo Verde, what did they drop to? Because they were like 17, weren't they?
Palo Verde, they were ranked 22.
Dang.
So dropping those two.
You know, I'm actually like super pissed off about that.
No, and the rankings are crazy, right? And we can shout out to Coach Millie, you know.
Yeah.
Coach Millie's great. He's a Deep South Connect. But, you know, you're absolutely right. It's frustrating to know that Palo Verde is not the 22nd best team in 3A.
I don't even know if there's 8 teams in the 3A that could beat them. I'm just saying, like, they're absolutely really, really good. And I get it. It's because of their playing, like, those mid-major 4As, which we've talked about a ton, so we don't need to get back into that. But it's crazy to think of a Palo potentially. Like, who do they have left on their schedule?
And this is what hurts them, right? Santa Rita. Respectfully, San Miguel, respectfully. They do have a big one against Safford, which could give them. They have Safford, you know, which is huge. Thatcher is, I think, ranked 30 last time I checked.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that's a big one that you cannot lose. You cannot drop the ball to Thatcher. You have Tank Verde, who you cannot drop the ball to. And then Catalina. And then you finish with Santan Foothills, which Santan Foothills right now, they're only ranked 27, right?
I'm hot right now.
So
because like it would be a travesty for a team like Palo Verde
to not get in because of the algorithm.
It's unbelievable, man. And I never would want people picking. You know what I mean? Because people are biased and it is what it is. But man, like there's a flaw. Because what's their overall record? Aren't they like 7-4?
Their overall record is 8-3.
I'm just saying they could literally win out. And depending on how things fall, they could literally miss the playoffs.
Yeah, by a couple spots, barely.
You know what I mean? Depending on region winners and even the 3A North tournament, mm-hmm. too. So,
no, you're absolutely right, man.
So the South is crazy. And, you know, talking about Sabino for a second, like for me, Sabino is my winner of the week. They start off their whole season. They start off 0-11. Right, I just talked to their coach this past week, but they start off 0-11. And I loved what he says. Like, nobody gave us a chance. Everybody's been talking about Palo and all these places. You know, they beat Palo by almost 20, I think, if I remember right.
22.
They have won, like, their last 8 of 9 games, and they're on a 4-game winning streak again, right? So they have a tough schedule. But if you go to Sabino on the rankings really quick, go over to them. Sabino, they have to win out. Like, I think right now they're ranked 32.
Correct.
Or like 31 or something.
Sabino is ranked 32, yes.
So they would literally, and click on them so we can see their schedule, they would literally have to win out in order for them to have a chance to make the playoffs. And even if they won out, there's a chance that they might not get in, right? So they've got Empire, Push. I mean, Push is their biggest chance that will help give them a boost a little bit in power points, but this is another team that, and I get it. You know, they had a hard start, so that's fair. That's a little bit different than Palo, but Sabino is a team. What's so fun about the South is this is what happened years ago. You have Palo, you have Sabino, you have a Thatcher, you have a Tankaverde. What's Tankaverde ranked?
Tankaverde is ranked 25.
Right. So like you have literally 4 teams in the South that all have to win out if they want to make the playoffs.
Correct.
It's crazy. So, I mean, that's my biggest winner of the week is Sabino because their transfers are eligible. And I loved it. The coach even said it's not even like one person is playing like crazy lights out, but everybody's just playing their role and they're just playing really well together. So, it's just tough.
Yeah, despite Florence, mine was also Push Ridge because if you look, let me find Push Ridge, they're ranked 17 right now. And for those of you guys who are counting out Push Ridge, we did mention them earlier in the year. When they were playing as like Pace and stuff like that, like, hey, this Push Ridge team, they might be a little bit dangerous. Just watch out. In January, they are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. They are 5-1. They beat, you know, they beat Ironwood. They lost to Florence, but then they beat Powell, and then they beat Winslow.
Mm. Yeah.
I'm just saying. That's kind of scary. So, that mean, that January 20th game, which was literally 2 days ago on Saturday, That's I think Winslow's ranked number 10, if I'm not mistaken, in the 3A.
Yeah, they'll move up now because
they're going to move up. And so, I mean, with the rankings are going to get a little dicey. Not dicey, mm-hmm. but it's going to be interesting to see just because I think it's safe to say Push Ridge is in.
What's their ranking again?
They are ranked 17th, and then they just beat number 7.
Yeah, they'll be in.
I think with that win against Palo and, you know, Winslow, I think they kind of punched their ticket early. In the South. For the South, you know, one of those teams for sure.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, it depends on what everybody else did, right? And like I said, I mean, that hurts Paolo dropping those two, honestly, man.
I know, yeah.
And I feel bad for them just because it's not over until it's over, but, man, it puts them on the hot seat for sure.
Coach Smith, if you want to write a letter into the AIA and just say Paolo deserves to get in ASBP, we'll do it for you.
We got you, dude.
We'll do it for you. My biggest loser of the week is actually ALA. You know, ALA, yeah. And I know you watch that game a lot, but ALA drops a big one at home against Rancho, and I think it was a 10-point spread there in the ending. But you know, for ALA, they've dropped a couple here towards the ending of the season, and I don't think it bodes well for them. And, you know, at the beginning of the season, ALA was kind of shooting through the roof stock-wise, and I think that they still have a lot of ability. Right now, it looks like Rancho is kind of trending upwards and peaking absolutely at the right time. Now, if you watch them, you'll notice that there's a brand-new kid who is very involved in things.
For Rancho.
And so, I mean, that also plays a part in things. But that's my biggest loser of the week. Another big winner is Winslow, though. Taking down your Roadrunners, dude.
It's weird, and that's so funny, right? Because we talked about Push beating Winslow, but then Winslow bounced back and beats Holbrook early in the week. So, I mean, who knows what could happen? Because I think Holbrook, if I'm not mistaken, they're still number 2.
It didn't update, though.
From Friday, they were ranked 2.
Yeah, so, and when was the game? It was Friday or Saturday?
The game was I think earlier in the week. No. The 18th, yeah.
Oh, yeah, they did drop. You're so right. Before. We talked about this. Their PowerPoints dropped, but they had way more PowerPoints than the number
so
three
they,
spot.
So they're Holbrook is fine at two, mm-hmm. but that's a huge win for Winslow, the true. Bulldogs, dude. And speaking of a game, I know we're going to go into the games, I'm sure, after this, like the recap.
Let's do it right now, bro. You pick a game you want to talk about because there are so many great games.
I'll talk about the two I talked that I watched, and I know you'll talk about the ones that you watched. But I just want to shout out, there was a really good game in the East between Snowflake and Sholo, and Sholo pulled out a two-point win, 72-70, over the number eight Lobos.
Dang.
Huge win for the Cougars, man. And that's a crazy rivalry game. I wish I could have been there.
Was this at Sholo or at Snowflake?
If I'm not mistaken, this was at Sholo. Let me check real quick. Da, 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 da. This was at Sholo, correct? Dang. Huge. Sholo's been kind of, you know, back and forth in January a little bit. But with that being said, ALA versus Rancho for me was one of the games I watched that I thought was great. Like I said, majority of the game was back and forth. Both teams ran really good sets. I mean, shouts out to Coach Meyer and Coach Trigg, right? Just
two of the best coaches in small.
God, they're so tough, man. They were, and the way their players run the sets, right, with the intention, with the detail they do, the way they set screens, it's just so, it's pretty pristine overall. I think if you're a young coach or if you're just a coach in general that just kind of want to watch like a good standard of basketball, I think those two teams are pretty good basketball teams to watch. I thought that Rancho's guards did a really good job making good decisions coming off the screen. I know that if you were watching, ALA was showing some soft hedge and some hard hedges, and I thought Rancho just responded really well. You know what I mean? They made some really good reads off of those. They also did a really good job applying pressure to ALA. Like I said, Rancho was just trending upward. Noah Draper overall inside was just an absolute tank. I don't know how – I should have kept stats, but I don't know how much he dropped that game. But it was just pretty much automatic from inside. Luis had a really good game. Iron Shell, not so much, right? I think they did a pretty good job. And he just had a, you know, off shooting night. I think he had like, I think he was like three for like, you know, six or, I mean, I guess it's half, right? 50%. But it just wasn't.
That's a pretty good shooting night.
That's a pretty good shooting night. Well, I see, I don't know. I should have counted how many threes. He shot a lot of threes, but just didn't make a lot. You know what I mean? But when he made the shots, it kind of counted. But like I said, Rancho was able to take like a, you know, like a 6-point lead and just never let go of it. And they did a good job just taking care of the ball, and I thought ALA just didn't.
Okay, so let me ask you this, okay? And this is full disclosure. I'm not going to say who I have this bet with, but I have a bet with an Arizona sports writer. It's over a burrito that they bet me that Rancho's going to make it to a state title game, and I bet that they wouldn't make it to a state title game. We put a burrito on it. Do you think I'm going to owe this sports writer a burrito?
No.
Really?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Actually.
I'm going to be honest. I'm getting a little bit nervous. I feel like Rancho.
No, it's scary hours for sure. And if you're, I mean, let's, super quick, let me look at Rancho's schedule while you talk about Rancho. You were about to say something about them.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing that makes me the most nervous is it's Coach Trigg, right? I mean, he does a great job coaching his kids up and getting them to play with the right mentality. So seeing this team grab a couple big wins in the regular season and definitely being battle tested playing against like a Valley Christian, you know, this is a team that is going to be super dangerous in the playoffs.
Yeah, Rancho's remaining schedule, they got Scottsdale Prep, Glendale Prep, Phoenix Country Day, Scottsdale Christian, and Veritas. So besides Scottsdale Prep, respectfully, I mean, those four games are pretty tough. I think the toughest challenges will probably be like a PCD and maybe a Scottsdale Christian.
Yeah, for sure.
Glendale Prep, you know, you never know. It's that Glendale Prep GPA, dude. They can pull something off. You never know.
It's a weird place to play.
It's a weird place to play at, man. But overall, I think Rancho has a really good chance of winning out. And like I said, they're number five right now in the 2A. They are not considered a dark horse, but they are for sure trending in the upwards of being considered, you know.
I don't think they're a dark horse. I think they're a contender.
No, I think when we talked about early in the season, we weren't really sure. I think we did say they were going to be contenders. We just weren't 100%. And then with what's going on with some of the other teams into the 2A,
sure.
I think it's safe to say that, yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be crazy if, you know, Rancho did make it to the title game.
Right.
Because, I mean, that'd be a really fun game against, you know, Santana and Rancho because they have not met each other at all this season. So, I mean, you never know. They might have their chance to meet in the playoffs. And I know Coach Crooms and I know Coach Trigg are probably listening right now. I'm like, that's what we want. You know what I mean? To be the best, you got to beat the best, right? And so, yeah, I don't know. I don't think you're at the owe a burrito just yet.
I
but you could.
I'm going to put it on DoorDash. I'm going to have it in like the and like the cart of what's going to come, you know.
I like that.
Just saying. Okay, let's move on to the 1A, and let's talk about the Gregory School and North Valley Christian.
Close game.
Okay, if you remember, we did an in-depth game preview about this episode, and this was number one, the Gregory School versus number two, North Valley Christian. The Gregory School survives here, and they get a big win over North Valley Christian. Reyes, I don't remember the score spread, so if you could check on that for me.
The score, remember, we literally put, because on Max Preps, it was 65-63, mm-hmm. and I think on Max Preps, it was like 63-61.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And we thought, like, no, it's not going to be right. It's going to be a little bit different, and uh-huh. it was exactly what it was.
But when we made our predictions and when we talked about this preview, one of the things that we talked about was because so if you look at the Gregory School and you look at North Valley Christian and all of their statistics and how they play, they were so similar. And because they were all so similar, one of the things that we really emphasized was just the fact that the role players were going to have to step up, right? And from everything that I gathered from the game, I saw a bunch of clips from the game and I got a bunch of people kind of tell me some things about this. It seemed like the Gregory School has a little bit more depth than a North Valley Christian does, and their depth type players stepped up a little bit. I wanted to say this because I thought it was good. I just want to find it here. The two really big impact players are Zach and Jethro. They didn't do as well as they usually do, right? There was a couple players for North Valley that just didn't have the production that you hope for in a big game like that. And, you know, for the Gregory School, they had some kids that definitely did step up in that sense. So a big thing for Bobby Rodriguez that he's going to have to really think through is the Gregory School face guarded him for the majority of the game. It's difficult to kind of play through, and North Valley was forced to kind of run their sets and stuff without him doing things that he's used to doing. So it did kind of throw off their offensive flow a little bit. And especially paired with other kids, you know, it not performing as well as you'd hope, it kind of makes things difficult for them. I will say, too, Cameron Rice will benefit from a few more weeks of just playing games, you know, getting into better game shape. And, I mean, Ryzen Smith, dude, he's the total package. I mean, he plays hard. He plays defense. He can play offense. He's electric. He's a leader. I mean,
physical.
Everything. I mean, it's funny because you look at him and, man, he looks really young, and he is. But,
dude,
he's just got so much. I had a coach write into me and say, we need more players like him. He's just everything. He's a total package. So the Gregory School gets a big win. This is from Small School Hoops AZ, so huge shout out to you. The game pretty much came down to free throws and who could rebound better. North Valley Christian had missed two or three free throws when the score was 61-61 after a bonus foul. The Gregory School went up by two after some Justice Turner free throws with 10 seconds to go. On the way down, Bobby got a really good look at the basket, but he missed, and end the game 65-63. So, I mean, free throws are a big thing. And, I mean, yeah, it's just, this is the Gregory School, dude. They're back up top. I mean, they've proven that they are the battle-tested number one. What do you think this means for North Valley moving forward, Big Ray?
I think if you're the Gregory School, obviously you're not content, because if I'm North Valley, you met number one, you just were just short, right? You were shorthanded.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We know Coach Walker is just going to go back to the drawing board, and, you know, if they meet, I would not want to meet North Valley a second time, right? Just because the adjustments he's going to be able to make. Obviously, the Gregory School is going to be able to make some adjustments as well, but I mean, at that point, who makes the better adjustments, right? So I guess we'll have to find out if they are lucky enough. I mean, there are some teams in the 1A that are like, well, don't just say it's a state title game preview just because we're still here, like a Bobo, like a Desert Christian now and stuff like that.
Sure.
The Gregory School has ASDB left. Not ASBP, but ASDB. Shout out to them.
Uh-huh. They've got a lot of action going on over there with the tournament.
They got Cicero, and then they got Desert Christian left for the Gregory School.
Dang, bro, that's a good ending to your schedule. I know you got to see the Cicero prep in person.
Cicero came to the Vale, dude. Mm-hmm. Shouts out to them, dude. They came to the Vale. They prevailed. You know, like you said, it was kind of a back and forth for a little bit and a half, but then, you know, they were able to take command, and you just kind of, you know, ride off into the sunset respectfully to my team.
Okay. So that was good. We just wanted to talk about North Valley and the Gregory School. I think that right now, I think North Valley is going to continue to improve, but right now the Gregory School looks like they're moving into that favorite to win here in the 1A as they enter into the state playoffs. But I'm just going to say this. The 1A is going to be bananas in the tournament.
Correct.
It's just going to be crazy. I think there's going to be great performances. There's going to be great matchups. There's going to be awesome coaching. I think it's just going to be super fun. So I'm excited about that.
Hashtag I agree, dude.
Okay, let's talk about this if you can. Winslow beats Holbrook on the road.
Dude, this game was so bananas, dude. Like, it was crazy. They beat the Bulldogs, dude. They freaking chased down the freaking Roadrunners and, you know. Exactly. That's more like a tiger.
I think it's a bulldog.
I don't think so.
I always told Jenny that if I was a bachelor, what I would do is get a super fat and lazy bulldog, and that would be my dog.
I like that.
I love bulldogs, bro. They're so awesome.
They're just so messy.
Uh-huh. Just the slobber and, like, you know, whatever. I couldn't do it. What the heck?
Oh, there you go.
I haven't done that since, like, high school, bro. Okay, so what stuck out to you about this game? I mean, Winslow, we talked about a lot in the beginning of the season, and they've had kind of an up and down, you know, trending of the season. Now they beat number two, and it's Holbrook. You know, that's a, I mean, you know, that's a reservation matchup that is huge.
The implications for that game was pretty huge for Winslow, kind of solidify them where they're going to be at in the 3A. The first half was back and forth, dude. Like, big, it was like, literally, I'm not even kidding. It was like such like a res ball start. The first like 30 seconds of the game, two threes are hit. Holbrook just goes to the corner, just bangs out a three. Ah, Winslow comes down the court.
House?
Oh, dude. I mean, I know you can't, like, I know the fans cannot see it. Maybe we'll have to post a picture on it.
This is audio only.
This is audio only, but we'll have to post a picture on Instagram for it. But, dude, I am telling you, bro, when I said a packed house, dude, it was pretty just nutty, to say the least. Look at this here. I looked it up for Jeff just so he can look at it. Oh, I put my mute off just so you can see, like, the house. You probably have to back up a little bit just because whatever.
Mm-hmm.
If it loads.
But whoa, where is, what's this on your phone, bro? Whoa, what is this?
Close the tab.
That's my personal. Oh, no.
Don't
look at that.
But like I said, the Winslow and, like, Holbrook, dude, it was just a back and forth game, you know, battle of transition, you know, shot after shot was being made, big play after big play. The crowd's going crazy, just like any other res game that you would expect. But I think what was really the turning point was Winslow was able to take care of the ball a little bit better.
It's a packed house, yeah.
It's a crazy packed house, dude, on both sides. It was, and you know how it is when everybody shoots a three, they're like, three, boo, you know, whatever. It was cool. The third quarter was the deciding factor, though. And Winslow went on like a 6-0 run or something like that, a 7-0 run, and they just never looked back. At that point, Holbrook was just kind of playing catch up. And like I said, Winslow was able to cap off on like a 10-point win.
This matchup between Isaac and Tapaha.
They're teammates on the club, and they're a little like club team, you know.
But that's a great matchup, though.
Oh, dude.
Who won that matchup?
I think it was safe to say Tapaha won the matchup between one-on-one.
But he won the battle, but, you know, Isaac won the war with Winslow.
Exactly.
Dang.
Man, it was crazy. Tapaha's tough, dude. He's just a freaking house, dude. He is Viral Heat nominee, and we did mention Rosam Smith. I mean, that's another Viral Heat nominee as well.
It's crazy. So, yeah, we wanted to talk about some of these games, just kind of like rapid fire, a couple other games that I think are worthy of note, right? Paige does lose to Chinle, and if I remember right, they did lose at home, and Paige was really trending upwards in the top 10. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Fort Thomas and Hayden had a huge matchup where Fort Thomas is able, if I remember right, Fort Thomas was able to pull away on this one. And, you know, we've got a something that we've been hearing a lot of noise from all around is Fort Thomas. And, you know, I'm really interested to see this team and kind of how they end up facing off in the playoffs. I think for a team like Fort Thomas, it's really going to matter who they get matched up against and how they end up doing against that, and if it's a good matchup for them or if it's a solid matchup. Because I think for some teams, you go in there, it doesn't really matter if it doesn't matter who you get matched up against, right? But for others, it really does matter. And for me, that makes me think of Fort Thomas.
72-76, Fort Thomas beat Hayden, then Hayden, and then Fort Thomas did beat Joe City.
So Fort Thomas is really, what are they ranked right now in the 1A?
Fort Thomas is ranked number 4.
Dang, bro.
The Apaches dude, they didn't even drop off when our boy Jayshon Rambler.
I know, dude. So, Schreiber. I mean, I'm just saying this is a team that I'm just being completely honest. I can recognize when we've done something. We've slept on Fort Thomas.
We did.
And, I mean, this is a win against Hayden towards the end of the year. That's a lot more meaningful than the others. And then what was their score spread against Joe City, if you have that in front
9
of you? So they won by 9, and was that on the road or at home?
That was on the road.
On the road. That's tough. Joseph City is no pushover. They're loaded with shooting. They've got great defensive intensity. They're super well coached. So, I mean, Fort Thomas is a team that we're going to have to be talking about that can make a pretty intense run. I just thought of this. Okay, here we go. Okay, putting you on the hot seat right here. Give me a res team from each conference that has the best chance to make a run in the playoffs. Start with the 1A.
Babbo.
You take Babbo over Fort Thomas?
Yep.
Really?
But it's Babbo's last game too, so we'll find out.
Ooh, is that at Babbo or Fort Thomas?
That is at, give me a quick second, sir. It is at Babbo. I'm going to take Babbo.
Okay, I like that.
Babbo for the 1A, for the 2A.
That's easy.
Is it easy?
Hopi.
Nope. Hopi.
I was going to say, who are you putting up with Hopi?
St. Carlos, baby.
No, you're crazy, dude. I don't care what Hopi is ranked. I'm going with Hopi.
No, I'll go Hopi, too. And then for the 3A is a little bit more interesting because you got a Winslow, you got a Holbrook, and you got a Page.
I know, dude.
Let's see. Holbrook's ranked 2, which, you know, and, you know, there are some interesting news within the 3A rankings that we cannot disclose right now. But.
Well, we're going to end with that.
Oh.
Yeah.
We'll end with it.
Yeah.
There is something just kind of, yes, it makes the 3A a little bit more interesting. Holbrook's number 2, Page is 5, Winslow 7, Chinley 9.
Dang,
I'm just saying, bro.
No, I know.
If I had to, like, you know, I mean, I like Winslow's chances. I really do. I think if Holbrook can kind of clean it up a little bit, they might have a shot. Because, like I say, I think those two, Winslow and Holbrook, for me, have probably the best shot.
Mm-hmm. Winslow and Holbrook.
I think so.
Yeah. I would go with Winslow, I think.
Because Page has.
I think even though Winslow has kind of gone up and down throughout the season, I think they have a little bit more.
This is so interesting. Look at Page. They beat Winslow, but then they lost to Holbrook.
Gosh.
But then Winslow beat Holbrook.
So then we get into the score comparison. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, it's just nuts. But, yeah, I think – I guess if you wanted to say – I don't think Chinley, respectfully, right? They're ranked number 9.
No.
But if I had to choose a res team, I think it's out of those three, but specifically those two, Holbrook and Winslow.
Yeah. No, I agree. But Page, I mean, you can't take out Coach Smith, you know.
You never can, dude.
Okay, so let's end with this. I am going to, you know, we talked about winners and losers from the week. I'm going to add this one in. My biggest survivor of the week is Valley Christian. Okay. Valley Christian goes on the road and plays at ALA Ironwood. They end up getting the win. I think the score spread
74-61.
74-61. And, you know, I was getting a bunch of pictures from some coaches who were there watching. And, you know, Luke Shaw was not playing, and he was on the sideline.
In a
boot. So, you know, Luke Shaw is injured. His timetable, we're not completely sure as to when he's going to be back or whatever. But all we know is that Luke Shaw he's injured right now. And IR, typically, dude, when you have somebody who's in a boot, I mean, I'm just saying, I feel like it's typically like a 4-week, 5-week recovery time. I just feel like that's typically what it is.
I think it's like a 4 to 6. Maybe. I think a 4 to 6 is safe to say.
So that's very interesting. Now, the reason I say survival of the week is for Valley Christian to go on the road against ALA Ironwood and to just be in control for the entirety of the game. Although, you know, Ayla Ironwood kind of comes within striking distance a couple times. Valley Christian kind of didn't miss a beat, man. I mean, they just came out. They continued to play. They've played without Luke Shaw for different periods of the season, so that's nothing new. But it's very impressive for Valley Christian to go on the road and to have this type of performance and still win. When I started to hear all this noise about Luke Shaw being out for this game, I was like, oh, I think Valley Christian, this might be one that they lose, especially because it's on the road. But they win, and it says a lot about their coaching staff. Here's the big thing I want to say that I loved. And it's so hard with sports and with kids and with just reality, with life. You can't have one thing, and then you can't have everything, right? So if you remember last week, you talked to me about Valley Christian and Santan Charter.
Mm-hmm.
Who would I give the advantage to? And I said Santan Charter because of the defensive intensity that they're playing with. Valley Christian hasn't necessarily had that the entire season. Well, now with Luke Shaw out, one thing I noticed about their play against ALA Ironwood is they were all over the place on defense, competing. They raised their defensive intensity. So in my mind, I was thinking, how do you replace 27-5? You play really, really good defense, and you keep running your stuff. Because Valley Christian, let's play the game, right? If he is out for the whole season. Right. Let's just play that game.
Play the what if, dude.
If he is, right? Would they still be a favorite to win the 3A?
Yeah, I think Valley's still a favorite, but if they were like a minus 2,000 or 2,500, right? I think now they're like a minus. Or not even that. I mean, it could have probably been that high.
Mm-hmm.
Either minus 1,500 or minus 2,000.
2,000.
I think they probably go to like a minus like 1,000.
800 or something.
I
agree.
Minus, yeah, 850, whatever it is. 825 or something crazy like that.
We'll play the other.
I love this.
Okay. If he is out for the season, what is their percentage chance to get upset in the playoffs now?
Because
week it was like 15%.
Dude, freaking put it at 40.
Oh my gosh, it just rose that much.
No, I had that. Just kidding. 25. Man,
that's crazy. So Luke Shaw, he did not play. He's in a boot. As far as timetable is concerned, we don't really know all that. But he is, you know, Valley Christian, hats off to them for handling themselves well. They found a way to win, and really they didn't put it in cruise control, but I mean they end up winning this game and really being in the driver's seat for the majority of it. So that was the big thing that we wanted to end with as we recap games.
They got an interesting stretch down the stretch.
No, they do, yeah.
They got Ben Franklin, you know, and obviously this is at Ben Franklin, so without a Luke Shaw, who knows, right? But, you know, Valley did take care of Ben Franklin respectfully pretty handedly.
Mm-hmm.
They got Santan Foothills, the Sabercats.
Okay.
I haven't played them yet.
Wow.
And then they got a tough three-game stretch against Gilbert Christian.
Dang.
Coolidge. And Florence. The Gophers.
Don't ever do that.
My bad. That's what they do, right?
I don't know. I've never seen it. Actually, I have seen a gopher. I've eaten a gopher before. Have you ever eaten a gopher? Really?
Nope.
Come over. I'll get you a gopher.
For sure.
So, yeah, it's an interesting stretch for them at the end, and we'll see how they pan out. But
what percentage do you give them to get upset?
To get upset? I'd probably put it at maybe 15%.
Okay.
You know, I mean, the big thing that changes with Valley Christian is, you know, a lot of stuff will stay the same. They still have a ton of talent. They have a ton of shooting, a ton of athleticism. Schematically, they're just so organized and great. The biggest difference is you don't have somebody who can just go get you a bucket, you know? And, like, you don't have somebody that can just get into the lane. And I think back to that Gilbert Christian game where Gilbert Christian gets within striking distance and then Luke Shaw just scores 6 unanswered points all in a row right after that, and they stretch out to 14 again, right? So here's the thing. They did it against ALA Ironwood without Luke Shaw, and they were fine. So, I mean, they have enough, obviously, but, you know.
They did do that against Ironwood, but I guess it is important to note, Gilbert has beaten Ironwood as well.
That is true. It's interesting.
It is very, I mean, like I said, dude, I don't know. It's going to get kind of crazy down the stretch.
I know. It's going to be awesome.
And the Coolidge game is at Coolidge.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
In the Bears cave or the Bears den, dude.
I still don't think Coolidge has enough. And the Coolidge fans would disagree, and I get that, and that's fair. You should disagree with me, but I just, you know.
We always say, dude, we haven't said it a lot, but just prove us wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Just prove us wrong, dude.
Okay, you ready to get to some pretty amazing performances, 1,000-point club type stuff?
Let's do it, dude. Okay, D-Bug, 52 points, bro. I know somebody that beat that.
Let's do it. Okay, so something that we actually introduced this year that we didn't do last year, and we didn't even introduce this purposefully, was the 1,000-point club. You know, I feel like a lot of people have been hitting it, and like last year we would maybe talk about it, but like
we didn't do it a lot. Yeah,
a lot of
right.
people have been sending us stuff like, "Hey, so and so just hit 1,000 points." So I'm like, "Oh, that's cool,"
and we appreciate that. Honestly,
it's so great,
dude. When one of your players or you know whatever it is in your community hits that milestone, dude, please like let us know because like we would love to highlight it. It's been actually kind of fun. I think it's cool, right? Because then they post on their stories and stuff like that. It's awesome.
So a couple kids here, there's actually a few that have joined the 1,000-point club in the last week or so. And we'll start with Blake Sosnowitz out of Phoenix Country Day. We actually just saw him playing at the end of last week. This is a tough kid. And think about how much he's improved from his freshman year all the way to his where he's at now, right? His junior year. He was just a shooter who had like some okay handles, but now he's like off the bounce. He's into the lane. He's
has
you
a
know,
floater.
He's got a floater game.
He's done a lot to his game, which is very it's very nice to see. And like I don't know what his aspirations are after, but I mean this is a kid for college coaches to keep their radar or keep him on your radar.
Hey, he's tiny, but he's mighty.
He is, dude. And dude, do not let the size fool you. I'm telling you, bro. The teams that he's played against, you know, you throughout know. His 3 years, he lights it up, dude.
If you know, you know. And with Sosnowitz, too, he's very big on he was celebrating his teammates a lot, too, which I thought that was cool, too.
Well, you did talk about some of his character things that he has done outside of basketball. I know you would love to go into that, but we can move on to that.
Yeah, we'll move on to that one. So a huge shout-out to Sosnowitz for a 1,000-point performance, and that was really cool. Another one that hit the 1,000 points benchmark milestone is Bryce Anderson. Okay, he ended up hitting the 1,000-point mark in kind of stunning fashion against Mountainside. He had 72 points, and it turns out that it is a record. The old record for the 2A was set in 1954, so it's like a 70-year record thing, the second most ever in an Arizona high school game. So yeah, that's, you know, that's cool. It hits the 1,000 points mark. Let's move on to Cohen Hill.
Hey.
Okay. Cohen Hill hit the 1,000 points mark, but what I loved is he actually, there's a different stat that, I didn't delete it.
You deleted it. He didn't care that much, Cohen. I'm so sorry to have to hear this
now.
No,
I didn't do that. I think it's because he sent it to, yeah, that's what it is. He sent it to both of us. Shut up, dude. So, and also with Cohen, Presley hit the 1,000-point mark earlier this year, which is really cool. He'll probably never get to add to that anymore because I think he's going to be out for the season, but super huge shout out to Presley Ebay for hitting that. Cohen reached 1,000 points against Basis last week, and he also has over 500 assists as well in his career. And 400 steals in his career.
400, that's a lot of steals.
Like, think about that, dude. And you know what? I know that you would agree with this because me and you actually had a huge talk about this with Coach Hill. You know, we celebrate the 1,000-point club, which is really cool. But we don't, you know, place enough emphasis on assists or steals,
rebounds,
right? So, I mean, I love that. And I think reaching 500 assists is extremely impressive. I forget this.
Absolutely.
We did this math that if you average like 7 assists a game for every single game, of your season from freshman year up to senior year, that is what? That would be, can you do the math right now on your calculator, not in your head? But, like, let's just go, what, how many games in a regular season?
I think every team usually plays about 30.
Okay, so you could do 30. Just do 30 times 7.
210, okay. And then times that by 4.
Right.
Or,
so,
no,
so,
times that by 3.
So just stop right there. So if you average 7 assists a game.
For a year.
For, like, from freshman year all the way up to your senior year, that's pretty impossible to do. Like, that's crazy. If you were to do that for an entire year, then you have, you know, 210 assists there. There's very few people that can actually do that. Cohen Hill does a great job finding people, and that's just a big part of his game. So that's super cool.
If you do it for 4 years, that's 630 assists.
Like, that's unbelievable. Like, if somebody was able to do that, that is crazy. So for Cohen to reach that, I think is a testament to just the kind of player that he is too, right? Like, loves finding people, loves getting other people involved. And then 400 steals in his career.
Who do you think has more steals than him? You think if Dayton Foster?
Bro, I thought you were going to say Dayton Smith. I was like, bro, what are you talking
about? Shout out Dayton Smith Archives.
Oh, my gosh. You know, if Dayton Foster was in the small ball for the 4 years, I mean, he'd be there. You know what I mean? Like,
the kid gets like 7 steals a game.
It was like 9, I think, at one point.
Is it really?
I just remember laughing because they posted like, he was number 2 in the nation or number 1 in the nation. I was like, oh, my gosh. But it was true, you know. So
I love that.
So a huge shout out to that. And, you know, yeah, so really cool. My bad, Coach Hill. I just saw that you said Cohen doesn't want that to be celebrated until after the year with the points.
Whoops.
There you go. Sorry. There you go. Good job, guys. But huge shout out to Cohen Hill for getting the 1,000 points. Also, there's a couple others over at Seligman.
Hey, dude.
You know who I'm talking about.
The Lobes, dude. I do.
Monte Walker and Carmelo, I think both hit the 1,000-point mark. If not, if Carmelo didn't, he's very close, but I'm pretty sure that he did. Walker.
Carmelo did hit it.
He did, right?
I know somebody that knows him. Yeah. They were posting it, so he did hit it.
So they both hit the 1,000-point mark, which is cool. You know, these two players are electric guards out of Seligman. And if you watch them play, I mean, I saw a video where one of them just dropped somebody. And it was just like, oh, my gosh, you know. I mean, they're very talented. They can get up. They're very athletic. They can just hoop. So a huge shout-out to them. It's a testament to everything that they've been able to do. So a huge shout-out to them. And that's really all I got for the 1,000-point club. But I did want to highlight two other massive shooting performances, and then we're going to get out of here.
I was trying to figure out, where is Seligman? Aren't they ranked?
They're ranked number 20, if I remember right.
Yeah, number 20. Hey, dude, when's the last time you seen Seligman ranked in the top 20?
You don't know this, but we're going to talk about this in our Patreon episode in just a second. So, okay, so there were two really incredible shooting performances, both from the 3A North Central this past week. Number 1 from Scottsdale Christian, Jackson Harrison. They got a huge win over Borgay Catholic. In the game, he went 11 of 15 from 3-point.
Golly, dude.
11
that's
of
crazy.
15. I mean, you want to think about that 73%?
That's tough, dude.
73%, bro.
Good night.
That's very, very impressive. And then Keaton Ort also, in one of their games this past week, he went 10 for 14 from 3 and 33 points, which is extremely
71%
impressive. 71%. I mean, obviously,
30 bomb.
You know, one of these kids is going to be, you know, doing some, hopefully participating in some things at the end of the year. But really cool stuff with them, and wanted to highlight that and just give some credit where credit is due. So that was a lot.
That was a lot, man.
To kind of talk through. But is there anything else that you want to talk about, or anything that you feel like we should say? Anything you want to get off your chest? Anything.
Anything?
Anything.
Man.
Anything.
Nah, but like realistically, dude, just a quick reminder. The ASBP Senior Showcase is back April 20th. Seniors, be on the lookout for your invites. And the Viral Heat Award, like I said, we'll be driving some new nominees, and we're pretty happy with overall all of them. And then from there, we'll just kind of trickle it down and, you know, hopefully, yeah, just get to it.
Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Arizona Small Ball Podcast, and we will catch you guys next week.